The masjid we went to before, Masjid Abu Bakr, there was a few group of Shia boys, yeah? They said, they contacted me saying, Akhi, I don't know if I should come because this is a Shia mosque by the name of Abu Bakr and we don't even like Abu Bakr. I said to them, Akhi, fear Allah and come into the masjid because this masjid is welcoming to anybody. Then we started to, you know, talking and so on and so forth, Akhi. You never know. The Shia, Ali, Yazidi, whoever it may be, Akhi, could turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the character that you show. Because of the etiquette and manners that you show. Because let me tell you something, brothers, yeah? We follow the Salaf, right? Yeah? Yeah? Yes. Well, you must sleep in, bro. We follow the companions, right?
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. But some people have an issue with me by saying I don't call myself Salafi. One of the reasons why I don't call myself Salafi is because I haven't followed every single action of the Salaf. So I feel like a scumbag, like a waste man, like the dirt beneath their feet for me to even be called that. And this is me, but we need to follow the Salaf. We need to follow the companions radiallahu anhu. And I always say I follow the Quran, the Sunnah upon the understanding of the companions. And one of the things is, yeah, actually every single person has a different sect, different this, different that. Actually understand this, that when you're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you think that all of this worship and all of these things and all of this refutation that you're doing against the people of bid'ah and so on and so forth, actually that's not going to be counting in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only thing that's going to allow you to go into Jannah is what? Sha'ir, bro. Allah's mercy, Allah's rahmah. You know about the man that worshipped Allah for 500 years. He came to Allah. Allah ordered him to go into Jannah through his mercy. Then he tried to argue with Allah. He tried to argue with Allah. He said, yeah, Allah, I worshipped you for 500 years. In other words, how dare you allow me? And how dare you have the audacity to allow me to go into Jannah through your mercy when I worshipped you for 500 years? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the angels to bring the mizan, the scales here. And he said, put 500 years of worship on one side. And just the mercy of being able to see with one eye, akhi, outweighed 500 years of worship. Because of his ungratefulness, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? He ordered him to go into Jahannam. And in that moment, say, ya Allah, forgive me, samihni, samihni. Let me go into Jannah through your mercy. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to go into Jannah. And this is the rahmah of Allah. Let me tell you something, my dear respected brothers and sisters here. No matter how much you're going for, and I put a lot of emphasis on this, and I'm going to repeat this over and over again, akhi. Return back to Allah, bro. For every 1,000 steps that you've taken away from Allah, it takes one step to turn back to Him. You've committed zina, come back to Allah. You've hurt your family, come back to Allah. You've hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and some of us, we do hurt the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How? Because of our actions. Our actions goes against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our actions are not from his sunnah, nor from the companions. And I'm not here to be a scholar. I'm not here to sit down in front of you and tell you that I'm an alim or an imam, but I'm here to tell you, my dear respected brothers and sisters, subhanAllah, forgive me, bro, I'm getting dizzy.
No more. That's more. What's going on, bud?
Allah. Now I'm going to sit down and I'm going to watch a sunny. I'm going to ask the whole thing.
Oh, wallahi, my dear respected brothers and sisters, there's not much I want to go on to say. I'm not here to kind of, you know, make your legs have pins and needles. Hayakallah, if this paracetamol is for any feelings that I've hurt, please come forward and get some paracetamol. Jazakallah khairan, Habib. But wallahi, Adeem, I'm not here to sit in front of you and tell you that I'm better than you, bro. This folk don't mean nothing. This beard don't mean nothing, akhi. You understand? If my actions are not upon what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught, then understand this, akhi. These doesn't mean nothing to me. And I'm going to say this again and over again, akhi. Be respectful to your parents, bro. And for the youngsters that are here, put your hands up if you still have a mother and a father, bro. Akhi, put your hands up with pride, bro. Pride, akhi. Understand that some of us are in the world, like, we're suffering with our parents, bro. And one of the reasons why I don't talk about my father is because, akhi, my mother did everything for us. No disrespect to my dad, akhi. But I never had a relationship with my father the way you man have. My father's paralyzed, akhi. So I can't go to the park with him. He got tortured and kidnapped in Iraq. So this is one of the reasons why we came to the UK. But I've never been to the park with him where I kicked a ball with him. Or gone shopping with him. As the brother Abu Sufyan said, we saw an old lady walking past and there's family members around her. And everybody neglected him. Or stuff like her. And also the fathers, everybody neglects him as well. But we're not ashamed. Uqsumu billah al-azim. We're not ashamed to go above and beyond for the parents of our companion. But not our parents, because we find it embarrassing. And this is what's happening. But my mother, as much as I hate it, my mother returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm content, Allahumma ameen. I'm content, akhi Umar. I said, Luke is here, you know.
I hope he's a dizziness.
Akhi, you should have got me some kick out. If I had a break, it would have been better. May Allah bless you. But my mother returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kullu man alayha fan. Everything will come to an end. Everything will come to an end. Even the angel of death will have to take his own life. Imagine that thing. But there was a conversation between Jibril alayhi salam and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jibril was talking to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then suddenly the sky split open. The sky split open. The angel came down. I think it's the angel Israfil. Correct me on this, Sheikh, right? Angel Israfil, I believe. Yeah? Israfil, he came down. I'm going to continue the story, and I think you would know which angel it was, yeah? The angel came down. And then, when the angel came down, Akhi, Jibril alayhi salam made himself small. Out of fear. And then, when the angel came down, he gave the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam two options. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I've come here to give you two options. You will either live like the kings of kings. This is his character. The people who you can live, was it a name? Jazakallah khair, Habib. The angel, Jazakallah khair, he said, this is why we need the imams around us, Allahumma barik. The angel came down. And he had gave the two options to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he gave him one option: he said, "Live the kings of kings. You will get the fruits of this dunya, mansions that made out of gold, if you want. Or you will remain to live like a humble servant." How did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam choose to live? Huh? That's the loud the boy, huh? So why not kind of live like rich, bro? Why are we trying to chase this dunya if our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose not to live that lifestyle? Actually, this is our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He chose to avoid it. And the poor people are the first ones to enter Jannah. Imagine that. So he chose to live like a humble servant. And the man in here today, such as myself, Akhi, we're trying to chase the cryptocurrency, we're trying to chase the bando, the trappers, the musicians. We're trying to chase these men. Akhi, one man's, Allahumma barak, Akhi, my man's working three jobs, completely neglecting his wife and kid. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah, Akhi. What are you doing, Akhi? Another person, yeah, what was it yesterday? On my way to an event with my wife, Akhi, I get a phone call from my brother. On the phone with my brother, my wife is listening, Akhi, you know? The man says to me, bro, I have a brother. He's got a wife and a child. Yeah, he's got a wife and a child. He has a house that he's purchased. Listen to this. He has a house that he's purchased and he's renting it out. But that brother decides to live under the roof of my mother and my father and he doesn't even pay a penny. Even when my parents are struggling with the bills, mama doesn't pay a penny, bro. And when the father wants to talk to him, he's too scared, Akhi. He's too scared. Is this what it's become? Where our parents are scared to speak to us. Because now all of a sudden we think we're men. Brothers from this community are fighting their parents for. The brother got himself a girlfriend. Now he's trapping all the money he's making from this community. I said, I'm going to go and see his family after. You're probably here. And you have the audacity to throw it back in your parents' face. But I'm going to break your jaw, bro. You waste, man. I'm going to say it to your face, man. Is this the life of a Muslim, bro? Where you go against your parents. Your mother that carried you for 9 months and you picked a dusty castle over your mother. But this is what it's become, bro. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. And we complain. The ulama are not doing enough. The imam of our masjid is not doing enough. The Muslim leaders are not doing enough. What the hell have you done for the Muslim Ummah, bro? What have you done for the Muslim Ummah, Abbas? What impact have you made for the Muslim Ummah, bro? What benefit have you put in, bro? Ask yourself, Akhi. You are hackers of the Quran, Akhi, go and teach it. As the Hadith mentions, the best of you are those that memorize the Quran and teach it. We got brothers here that are hackers of the Quran that are shy to give it. Akhi, teach, bro. I want to be in your position. They just got a phone call earlier before coming on the text message. One of the brothers that we went to sort out a murder case, Subhan al-Malik. Tomorrow is his janazah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower him with his mercy. Allahumma ameen. 16 years old, Akhi. And you know who killed him? His own friend killed him. They were friends growing up. They used to go and see each other's mothers and go into each other's houses. And then they got into a little issue, so they separated. And they got into arguments. But they never wanted to come across each other.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University, set a course for change, certified to operate by Chev.
The brother got phoned. Akhi, there's a problem, come to the park. He turned up to the park in the aid of his brother, in the aid of his brother, bro. And what does the hadith mention? And the one that comes to the aid of his brother, it is better, as the Prophet Muhammad SAW said, it is better for him to do ittifaq in my nation. So he decided to come in the aid of his brother. He chilled there. A few minutes later, his own friend, the one that shared the same plate in their parents' house from each, because they were friends, I think, had a baddie on, had a hoodie on, jumped off the bike like he had poked him straight in the chest. The moment he stabbed him here, I believe he was here, Allahu A'lam,
yeah.
He punched his lungs and his heart at the same time. He punched his lung and his heart at the same time. And on the spot, he dies. And his friends around him were telling him, yo, bro, say your shahada ak. Say your shahada ak. And they, the day before, I saw him at my talk, sitting in the front row. And we took pictures together. The day before, 16 years old. Is this what it's come to, akhi? Muslims are killing each other. Old friends become enemies. But alhamdulillah, the last conversation I had with him, yeah? The last conversation I remember having with him in the masjid while we took pictures, yeah? Was that alhamdulillah, I'm starting to pray my 5 daily prayers. Alhamdulillah, I've become more obedient to my parents. You see how Allah tested him straight away. Allah tested him straight away. And now the brother's dead. And tomorrow is his janazah. How are we meant to move forward, bro? When brothers are killing each other. How was the ummah meant to move forward, Ak? If every single one of us is only thinking about ourselves, this is not Yawm al-Qiyamah where you're thinking, nafsi, nafsi, Ak, where you're only thinking about, you're only concerned with yourself, Ak. Yawm al-Qiyamah hasn't come. But you're moving like this now. You're moving like this now. Imagine in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But naked, uncircumcised, Akhi. Imagine. How am I meant to look at the family tomorrow? One of the brothers that was with him is here with me today. And when he was saying his shahada, and the brother was going away, the brother said, yeah, he held on to his ankle and said, don't leave me, don't leave me. For a 15-year-old to witness his friend die right in front of him. Is this fair? Another brother in MK, in Milton Keynes, Akhi came to my talk. He came to my talk, Akhi. He said to me, yeah, amen, from today onwards, I would never ever sell any more drugs. I would never ever go and commit zina. I would never ever hurt someone else. And do you know what happened to him, Akhi? 12 hours later, he gets stabbed up. And I said to him, Akhi, you are a blessed man. Because you said you're going to change and Allah tested you straight away. Some people claim they're going to change and Allah leaves them for years. Allah leaves them for years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you. You say that you believe and you feel and you think you're not going to be tested. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was tested, he had to bury 6 of his kids. When he was born, he didn't even have a relationship with his father. He didn't even see his father. Yeah? And on top of that, he only witnessed 6 years with his mother. And the first tear he ever had was his mother passed away right in front of him. How are you going to feel when the Malik al-Maut comes and knocks on your door, Ak? Because the money, the fame, the status that you have in this world, the angel of death is not going to care. And the most miserable people in this dunya are those that are what? The richest of rich. The celebrities in the Hollywood. Shout out to Bollywood too. And Nollywood as well. Because all of them, akhi, that have this status, have this money, have this fame. What are they doing, Ak? They're turning to drugs and addiction and they're overdosing. And they're returning back to Allah in a shameful manner. But ask yourselves this. For us, and the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam states this, yeah? Giving sadaqah doesn't decrease your wealth.
Wallah al-Adim, for every trial and tribulations, I go from here to expose my good deeds, but this is a lesson to you, bro. For every single trial and tribulations that I went through, akhi, I gave in charity. I gave in charity. I gave in charity. Akhi, even if it's a pound. The brother's going for a case. 26 years he's looking at, akhi, giving charity. You're looking at life in jail, akhi, giving charity. A man that I met in jail, he's still in jail. He's done 19 years in jail, akhi. He was the biggest kafir, bro. A drug dealer, alcoholic, an addict, everything. Yeah? Akhi, before he went to jail, he said, I made dua. Obviously, he did a prayer. He never believed in Allah. He never believed in no God. So he made the prayer saying, oh Lord, if you really do exist, give me a life that's worth living. Akhi, a few weeks later, he caught a case. Now he's doing life in jail. He's in jail now saying, you know, what the hell's going on, akhi? I asked the Lord if he exists to give me a better life, a life of purpose. He gave me life in jail. 4 years into his sentence, he got a dream. He's never spoken to a Muslim. Look at this, you're hearing this, akhi, yeah? You see, guidance doesn't come from you. I said this before and I'm going to say this again. Guidance does not come from none of us here. And none of us in this dunya, apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This man has never spoken to a Muslim. He's never ever gone into a mosque. He's never been around a Muslim. None of his friend has ever been a Muslim. A Jamaican uncle, yeah? 4 years into his sentence, he got a dream. And in his dream, he took his shahada. So he woke up thinking, whoa, 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 what's this? So he started asking people on his prison, akhi, this is the situation, this is how my dream was. What could this be? Some people don't have the answer. Some people don't have the answer. What did he do? He went to the priest. The priest doesn't have an answer. He went to the imam. Imam says, this is in your dream. What it describes that he became a Muslim. He said, Muslim, what's that? So the imam gave him books. The imam gave him things to read on. And then he had another dream that he took his shahada again. He said, this is written for me, man. A Jamaican uncle that's done 19 years in Joak. He's never been to a masjid. I'm waiting for him to be released in a few years, inshallah. And I said to him, it's a promise that you have to give me that I'm going to be the first person to take you into a masjid. And the way we're going to celebrate the day he comes out, akhi, is going to be like Eid, inshallah wa ta'ala. Never seen a masjid. He took his shahada, akhi. And this same uncle, this Jamaican uncle, by the age of 58 or 57, he taught himself how to read the Quran. He taught himself how to memorize the Quran. And he taught himself the principles and the etiquettes and the manners. And no one else did, bro. And he did all of that in prison where we had the freedom we have out on road. You got the imam that have the rules here. But man, them don't want to turn up. They only want to turn up to Jummah. And I'm not downplaying Jummah, bro. Alhamdulillah, you're coming for Jummah. But out of 35 salah, you only come for one. Come on, Ak. At least pray one salah in the masjid. One salah in the masjid. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him. And I'm going to finish up on this, inshallah. As you lot know, and I'm going to say this regarding the charity. As you know, Allahumma barik, the masjid here. It's collected money, Allahumma barik, where I think every single one of us should dig into our pockets. Wallahi, the masjid hasn't told me to mention this. I'm telling you, I'm my own good. Yeah? I want you guys to put into this masjid. This is a good masjid, inshallah. This is a masjid of brotherhood, of love, of compassion, of respect, of care for one another. Alhamdulillah, the brothers that I'm here with as well. You know, one ummah, your community. I think I've got a mixture. Yeah, they themselves are doing amazing things in Southampton. What are they doing? They're doing hiking. I'm going to go with them to hiking to Mount Snowdon on the 2nd of September to the 4th. We're going to go. They got a football tournament. So if Baba's here, inshallah, the imam could kick football. Yeah, make your own team, Sheikh, inshallah. We do a tour of table tennis. Sheikh, I'm from the jail day, Sheikh. I'm going to put you in your place, inshallah, out of respect. Yeah? Don't come to me with no table tennis talk, Sheikh. Yeah, you have one here, yeah? Talk is cheap, you know, Sheikh. Say no more. Say no more. Yeah, man. This is when I become, you know, passionate, akhi. This is when I don't care about the opposition, yeah? Don't worry, I got you, Habib. But alhamdulillah, the masajid are doing good things. But it's time for you lot to change, man. We want you to be the leaders of the future ummah, inshaAllah wa ta'ala. Because guess what? The train is pulling up, and I say this a lot. The train is pulling up where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to revive the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And ask yourself this. Are you going to be on that platform? You know, are you going to be on that platform when that train stops in order for him to continue to, you know, to get to his destination? If the answer is no, bro, today is your day to start. Today is your day to become a better servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today is the day where you start to be more obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today is the day where you follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today is the day where you be obedient to your parents, your mother, your mother, your mother, and then your father, as the hadith states. Wallahi, remember, that time is ticking. If there's 14 or 15 year olds that are dying, what? It doesn't make sense that we're living like we have the whole life waiting for us. Do you know, I did the calculation. If someone lives up to 75 years, yeah? On average, if you take away if you take away the sleeping, on average, you're living about 19,224 days. If you live on average to 75 years, I think, you only have 19,224 days to live. Remember that, akhi. Time is ticking, akhi. What are you doing with your days, akhi? I love you all for the sake of Allah.